heat wave has been going on in the United States for the past few weeks, and if we're to believe the meteorologist, it's going to get worse. Heat waves are very difficult to predict. One never knows if they're going to be as extreme as meteorologists say, but the thing that's always predictable is that heat waves can kill. Eric Kleinenberg joins us now, a sociology professor at NYU and author of the really, really great book, Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago. If you haven't read it, you need to. And Eric, I understand you have a new book coming called Going Solo, The Extraordinary Rise and Surprising Appeal of Living Alone.
That's right. We just have a heat wave to get through first.
I was just going to say that's ironic because one of the dangers of heat wave is people living alone.
It's true. It's not just a weather disaster. This is a big argument I made in my book. One of the reasons that so many people die in heat waves is that so many people are living alone and aging alone in American cities every day, and their isolation can be a real danger at times like this.
You know, you've called heat waves the deadliest natural disaster in America. Can that really be true?
Well, there are extreme events that can kill more people than any given heat wave, but in a typical year, more Americans die in heat waves than in all of the other so-called natural disasters combined. And that was surprising for me when I started research on this, but it turns out to be true.
And in point of fact, your book is about the Chicago heat wave in 1995.
It's an amazing story. 1995 in Chicago, a heat wave that lasted about 2.5 days killed more than 700 people. And in fact, one of the reasons we knew that the disaster was so deadly is that so many people died that the morgue in Chicago couldn't handle the load, and they had to bring in a whole fleet of refrigerated meatpacking trucks to handle the remains. Normally, there's not really visible signs of heat deaths, and that's one of the differences between heat waves and, say, hurricanes or tornadoes or floods. We can see those other disasters, and they make spectacular imagery for television. Heat waves are invisible disasters that tend to kill invisible people. We don't pay much attention to them.
Well, what is it about the heat wave that kills? I mean, what are people dying from?
Well, what can happen is if your body is exposed to very extreme heat over the course of about 48 hours and you don't get the kind of relief that you need, that whether it's air conditioning or just very cool water, you start to suffer from heat stress or heat stroke. Your internal organs can break down. And in fact, even in cases where there are not large amounts of deaths from heat waves, heat stress can cause permanent damage physiologically. And so one of the big issues in heat waves is, are you getting the kind of attention you need from friends or from family, from medical providers if the case gets there? And one reason that so many people in heat waves die alone is because they're not recognizing that their bodies are really under duress.
We're speaking with Eric Kleinenberg, sociology professor at NYU, author of the book Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago. I mean, people understand how dangerous it can be to overheat a body. I think anybody who watches House on TV or any kind of medical drama knows that when somebody's having a fever, they start worrying about brain damage. We don't connect that to heat waves. And in fact, we don't seem to connect heat waves with a huge, deadly natural disaster. Why do you think that is?
Well, again, I think part of it is that they just don't look all that scary. There's a kind of way in which journalists cover heat waves that also cools us down in terms of the urgency of our response, and that is, you know, when a heat wave comes, you get things like meteorologists frying the eggs on the street or the soft, you know, human interest story at the appliance store where they're selling out of air conditioners. We make a lot of jokes about it. I don't think we make those kind of jokes about hurricanes when they're encroaching, even though on average hurricanes tend to be much less deadly. I think there's just this kind of funny way we have of brushing them off. You know, toughen up. It's not really that bad. You can beat the heat. And for whatever reason, we fail to take them seriously as public health hazards.
And in fact, I don't think there's a whole lot of happy, upbeat songs about tornadoes and hurricanes. But at the same time, what this ends up in terms of public policy is that we invest a large amount of money in advanced warning systems for things like tsunamis, for things like hurricanes and tornadoes. We don't have the same things in place necessarily for heat waves.
Well, the truth is we don't really have to spend a lot of money on this. One of the great ways to make heat waves less deadly is just to take them more seriously. So to do the real public health announcements when a heat wave is coming, and you can see a heat wave coming days in advance just like you can see a hurricane coming. You can just turn the colors on the weather map and make everyone know that this is a really dangerous system when one's arriving. Media could play a much more important job in putting out warnings. Local government agencies can tell everyone that these things are serious. Neighbors could be better connected to each other. Cities can do phone calls and other kinds of outreach. But again, I think one of the reasons that we've had historically a hard time dealing with the heat waves as public health hazards is that the great majority of people in cities can deal with heat waves by simply turning on their air conditioners.
Right.
Except your car, go to your office, and you cool down. It's the small number of people who are very poor, very elderly, are very sick, and don't have access to air conditioning who really get it.
And that's the issue here, Eric Kleinenberg. In point of fact, solving the heat wave, the deadliness of heat waves, it can be more complicated because the people who are at most at risk don't have alternatives. They're not the kind of people who perhaps have a car, have access to air conditioning. They turn on a fan and maybe try to get some ice out of their refrigerator, and it ends up killing. How do you solve that when that's really a social problem?
Well, the truth is that when you look at disaster after disaster, whether it's the recent tsunami in Japan or Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans or the heat wave in Chicago, the groups that are most at risk are very old and very poor people. And so dealing with the risks of all kinds of emergencies generally involves targeting your response and your outreach to the places and to the people who you know are at risk. And we just don't do as good a job of that as we could. And again, I think this isn't the kind of thing that costs huge amounts of money to do. It just takes political will.
All right. But it's not takes huge amounts of money. How do we get these elderly people out of their homes? How do we get them access to AC?
Well, so for instance, Chicago, after really bungling the 1995 heat wave, started to do a bunch of innovative things to protect those very people and places, bringing around emergency police units to check up on people, using community police officers for that kind of system, bringing people in public buses that were air-conditioned to cooling centers where they could get relief, opening up phone banks where you get people just making phone calls to older people who you've already identified through the Department on Aging and things like that to make sure that they know that it's a dangerous situation. They should get themselves in a bathtub if they can't get air conditioning. They should get themselves to a cooling center or to a big grocery store if they can. Just doing that, it doesn't solve all the problems, but it goes much farther than you'd think.
And that's good advice if you are in the Midwest or you're going to be anywhere that's affected by the current heat waves. Eric Kleinenberg, sociology professor at NYU. He's the author of Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago. And his new book is called Going Solo, The Extraordinary Rise and Surprising Appeal of Living Alone. Eric, thank you so much.
My pleasure.